thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Justin Tyler and Alex Elvin!
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, all right.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And that's our dad of the booth band. What else?
Are you a booth band over there? I don't know.
Oh.
Don't cheer.
All right, well, anyway, thanks for dressing up for the show.
Cheer for Bruce Man.
Bruce Man. Thank He's you. Not here, so I felt like I didn't have to dress up. He's the one I'm always trying to impress with my
true. Time.
What is going on with you guys?
I know. We have a weird relationship.
Cool.
He needs some time away.
Well, I hope you guys work it out. I'm pretty excited to
know.
Hug it out.
I don't know if I can take him back after this one.
What happened?
He got home so late last night, smelling of beer, his breath, and I had made him a loaf meatloaf. And he likes meat loaves.
Yes. That's surprising. I wouldn't have expected.
Yeah, you.
I mean loaves.
Yeah.
Yes, meat.
I made like 5 or 6 types of loaves. It was cold when he got there. I didn't heat it up, and then he passed out. After
a
beating.
You got
it. Oh, no.
Sorry.
Tough to get a crowd reaction on domestic abuse.
Yeah, I think everybody was like,
yeah,
that's fine.
I had it coming.
Cool. This is a good note to start the show on, I think, you guys.
I'm just trying to vent, you know?
No, it's great. A better note to start the show on is welcoming our amazing guests out. So let's do that. Ladies and gentlemen, Christos Gage and Mike McCone.
Yeah!
Hello. All right. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. We're
thank
very excited
very
to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
You guys work on a series called Police Academy, is that right?
Yes, there's a guy who can do beatboxing, but not just beatboxing.
It's amazing how you translate that to the written word.
I know.
Yeah, well, that's really your challenge, Mike, right?
Yeah.
It is, and I rise to a deal.
But the likeness of Steve Guttenberg...
So Avengers Academy.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. I remembered halfway through that. So you guys have been working on that issue. It just came out. Let's talk about it a little bit. Give us the pitch for the series for those who haven't picked it up.
Okay. Well, we can now talk about it openly. The pitch for the series is essentially these are at-risk superhuman youth. The premise is that Norman Osborn, the evil villain, the Green Goblin, who has recently been deposed from his role as Director of National Security, had been seeking out and forcibly recruiting young superhumans. The Avengers, once they've once again taken the reins of protecting the world, have found that these kids are at risk of becoming supervillains, future deadly villains, either because of the torture they've undergone or some other existing personality issue. And so they've brought them into Avengers Academy, which they have presented to the kids as this is a school where we train you how to be an Avenger, and we pick you because you're the 6 most promising young superhumans. But at the end of the first issue, the kids find out the truth. And so the sort of hook of the series is, which path are they going to go down? How does this knowledge affect their attitude towards it? They are being lied to by their teachers. But it's based, and I actually had a teacher come to me at the Midtown signing yesterday and say this was sound teaching philosophy. The reason that the Avengers chose to do
that. I don't know about that. That teacher seems at risk himself a little bit. Being at the comic book store on a weekday.
A week night. The reason the Avengers did not come out and tell
you
them.
You win this round, Gage.
The reason the Avengers didn't come out and tell them you guys are all messed up is because studies have shown that if you tell young people negative things about themselves, they internalize it and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So they lied to them, you know, which is the second best thing to do. So anyway,
lie to your kids.
Exactly. The premise is essentially, you know, we're not just seeing kids becoming superheroes, we're potentially seeing them becoming supervillains. And I love the fact that the speculation has already started about, you know, which one's going to end up in which camp, because that's exactly what we want. Did I do it all right, Mike?
That was perfect.
Yeah,
was great.
I didn't realize I was drawing that book.
All right. Mike thinks he's drawing a book about huge guys beating each other up. That's
all
what
I'm
told him.
To do.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things about the book is that you've created a whole new cast of characters, of people that we haven't seen before. Can you talk a little bit about creating the new characters for you from the writing perspective, and Mike for you from the artistic perspective?
Well, it was very much a collaborative effort. I came up with the names and like power sets, but gave, you know, sort of handed that to Mike and said, just bring them to life, visualize it however you like, you know, non-specific about, for the most part, about, you know, race, look, anything like that. And he really did an amazing job of making them come alive. For instance, one character, Finesse, whose power is much like Taskmaster in that she can learn things almost immediately. She can duplicate people's moves just by seeing them. And Mike described her look as evil Audrey Hepburn.
People have been clamoring for that.
Yes.
Well, apparently the Wasp was based on Audrey Hepburn. And so I thought it might be interesting for Hank Pym to have someone who looked like a 70-year-old Janet Van Dyne.
Oh, creepy.
Saucy.
Real creepy.
Yeah, he doesn't have enough problems.
No,
yeah.
He's a very well-adjusted guy.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and, you know, as far as some of the other characters, I mean, we tried to come up with people whose powers also gave them some degree of, you know, conflict. So, for instance, Hazmat is a character who can give off different deadly, you know, radiation, various, you know, toxic chemicals and things like that. And she has to remain in a hazmat suit at all times, otherwise she'll poison the people around her. Vale is a character who can become gaseous and transform into different types of gas, but her powers are causing her to slowly discorporate. She'll become more and more insubstantial until one day she'll just drift away and die.
I have that problem sort of emotionally.
Yeah, less and less
sort of
emotion.
Just oof, yep. Becoming a sociopath.
More and more.
I thought you were going to say gashes.
That's also true.
So you should be able to relate to the book just fine.
Yeah, definitely. I'm right there. It's a real burden to be so gassy.
It is.
I'm going to be a supervillain. I love Metal, the character.
Metal. He's a good one.
Yeah, I love his eyes, but to speak to the art, it's great. Like, he's so like a sad puppy in a giant red metal.
Yeah, I have no idea how the eyes stay where they do.
Yeah.
I haven't figured that out yet. So.
they just sit there.
That's version two.
Yeah, you should probably figure that out soon.
Yeah.
Otherwise his eyes will just kind of drip out.
The Avengers Academy, we get a schematic of his skull. Uh-huh. Too little. Like a little guy with a big hand.
He's a puppet.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a
that's a good twist.
That's an end of
you probably.
Twist.
I don't want to. You probably should have called it Puppet Academy.
Well, I think that was trademarked by the Jim Henson Company.
Okay.
Yeah. A bunch of pieces of felt going up through the ranks, becoming puppets.
It seems like you definitely have a lot of places you can go with this series. Certainly, we don't know any of the backstories of these heroes. We don't know whether they're going to be villains.
Well, we know about Justice and, of course, Speedball.
Yes. Right.
Fan favorite.
Fan favorite, Speedball.
At least the fan on this couch.
Now, Speedball is back, but you can't just leave behind, you know, all the stuff he's been through, so...
Sure you can.
No, you can't. Speedball is now troubled Speedball. He's edgy. No, he's extreme radical Speedball. No, he's... I mean, he's still Robbie Baldwin. You know, my attitude is we're all made up of our... aggregate experiences, and he's still the wise ass who bounces around and throws out one-liners, but he's also been through some really horrible things, and he's trying to sort of get past it, but you can't just wish yourself past it. The analogy I made at HeroesCon is, if I went in the closet and got out my Thriller jacket, I would not be myself in 1985 as much as I would like to get back to that, because for one thing, I was about 40 pounds thinner. You know,
it's still in your closet, though, right?
You know. I almost brought it to HeroesCon, but my wife threatened to kill me, and I did not. But I break it out sometimes.
Yeah, I know you do.
Should have brought it to the show,
is
dude.
A reverse thriller jacket?
You are very correct, sir. It's a reverse Thriller jacket where Michael Jackson's was red, mine is black, and vice versa.
Did you buy that one on purpose?
He's the man in the mirror.
That's exactly right.
He's
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
The other thing that's going on is you're in for the Avengers retreat that's going on this week. Talk a little bit about that. I'm sure you can spoil pretty much everything that's going to happen in the next couple
everything.
Of years.
Yeah.
Fill us in.
Well, we're canceling Iron Man for one thing.
Great.
Yeah. No, the Avengers retreat is something that happens about once a year. And Marvel does it for most of their families of books. Like there's the Hulk family, the books, the X-Men family, and basically the writers come in and sit down with editorial and sort of everyone pitches what they're planning to do in the upcoming year or so. And people bat around the ideas, say, I like this, I don't like this, hey, have you considered this? And it always ends up, if this kind of thing was done in Hollywood, it would be a total train wreck. But here it works because everyone's really smart and good with story, and these guys have some of the most amazing imaginations. Just for sake of example, last year I pitched the premise of Avengers Academy, which I always wanted to be, about kids on this journey to become hero or villain, knowing the cards were stacked against them in one direction. And I had this very contrived sci-fi way into it in which like they went forward in time and saw that they had become these dastardly villains who had conquered the world. And I wasn't crazy about it, but I didn't have anything else. And the guys were like, you know, well, what if they just find out, you know, they read the Avengers files and find out the Avengers are keeping this from them, that it's their personality profiles. And I was like, oh, that's so much more elegant, simpler, and more character-based, and just loved it. So, I mean, I can't say enough about those guys and their story ability. And I don't just mean the writers. I mean, like, guys like Joe and my editor, Bill Roseman. Everyone's really amazing. So it's a very valuable thing.
Mike, do the artists kind of just like sit outside, like it's the doctor's office, waiting
for the
spouse?
What are they saying in there? Yeah.
I just want my dog. They won't let me in there. I tried mustaches, false beards.
You don't want to.
I tried the Thriller jacket. It's still in there.
See, it's only reverse thrillers that are allowed into the Avengers retreat. That's the trick.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, we did.
Hey, we did it. Very coincidentally, we're going to talk about an Avengers title first, which is The New Avengers, number one, rebooting The New Avengers.
Wow, you sort of ran out of gas.
I sure did. Well, do you think this franchise has run out of gas? And that's my show. I'll see you guys later. I'm going to go to sleep for a little while.
Alex's show ends about halfway through this one. I've read all the Avengers books, and this one I was like, oh geez, they're still at this party, everyone's talking about everything.
Party's great. Yeah.
I know. It's great to be at a party, but this one, we've already seen like sort of half of this party, and then now it's like, it's so chatty, and all these characters were also new Avengers, sort of, and then the Thing's here, Wolverine's on like, in like all the books, I don't know, it seems like I have Avengers overkill right now.
I thought this was actually kind of fun. I disagree with you.
I
think just a little bit of a spoiler. The new Avengers end up in a reconstructed Avengers mansion that now Luke Cage owns. And it kind of felt like...
Real estate. See, that kind of stuff I love.
It's great. I mean, I'd love to
real
see
real estate exchanges.
Well, like, if they have problems with the pipes, who do they call? Probably Night Plumber.
Night Plumber. Great.
Night Plumber. Great.
We don't know if he's a hero or
the sensational character.
When you get the bill, that's when you know he's a villain.
But I like this. I don't know. I think it's like, hey, we're all friends. Let's hang out. Let's do stuff. And the only thing that's a little weird to me, but that I actually like, is that they're all very street-level heroes, and their first thing they have to deal with is this gigantic mystical entity that's trying to take over the world. So I think that's actually kind of nice to throw them into something that they can't fight.
There, yeah.
That's what I like.
I love Brother Voodoo. I was happy to see him here. Dr. Voodoo, excuse me. He's sort of a brother to me. But he just gets beat up and then left sort of around.
Yeah, well, he kind of gets beat up off panel. He's like, no, I can't do this, and then he's beaten.
Yeah, and then he just teleports the Eye of Agamotto to Luke Cage's hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's better than that. He's got a ghost with him.
Not anymore. The ghost was eaten by ghost snakes.
Oh, I hate that.
Happens all the time to ghosts. Can you talk a little bit about a year back, the genesis of this book at all, since I guess you were in the room?
The ghost snakes were my idea, and I'm very offended. No. I mean, it's actually what you said. The idea is that the regular, you know, adjectiveless Avengers is the guys up in the tower fighting the big cosmic menaces like Kang, and these guys are the more street level Avengers. But once again, you know, like you said, they'll be throwing a curve at times and taking on stuff out of their wheelhouse. I know where this storyline is going, so I'm not going to talk too much about it because I will inevitably give something away, and then they'll all kick my ass at this retreat tomorrow. I love the art, and actually, I wanted to talk about one of the things that I'm really digging is the oral history of the Avengers in the back text piece. which I think is really, really
big fan of history.
Yeah. That was just a puppy, an old puppy.
An old one.
Yep. Like a dog.
Exactly. I like it. I mean, I'm a big fan of World War Z, Max Brooks' book.
Yeah.
Portrayed in that way, and this is a lot, it's just a fun way to look at the, at least all nerds like me know all about the events that happened already, but it's fun to put a fresh spin on it, so I dug that part.
I didn't read it.
It's like Wayne and Garth. What'd you think? Didn't read it.
All right, well, let's move on to the next thing we're going to talk about, which is Brightest Day, number 4. Guys, it's a bright new day in the DC universe, which means people are getting their hands ripped off, and strangled, and junk. What do you think about this?
This book as well. I just wish everything's like the story. Each time the story gets moved along, like one tiny little step, and it's all terrible things for happening to everyone. So I don't know. I just want it sort of to get over into the big story, and I think it's coming like the next issue or something. Really pushes it down.
Can I point out something that is like a total little nitpick that drove me a little nuts?
Please.
So, Hawkman and Hawkgirl find this doorway made out of their own bones.
Sure.
And they're like, oh man, I bet the villain went through there, the guy who's always trying to kill us throughout history. We should go through there. And Hawkgirl's like, wait, this might be a trap. And he's like, what if it
is? What are we going to do?
What? We could not walk through this
Let's
door.
Let's walk away from the bone
bones.
Vortex.
Come on. So then they walk through and they find, I think it's probably supposed to be Hawk World or something like that, but it's these floating, yeah, I know, comics. They find this floating earth pieces and whatnot, and so one of them is like, whoa, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. And my only thought was like, well, you weren't in Kansas to begin with.
Well, Hawk Girl's not known for her comedy. Or like humor background.
Right.
She sort of flies around and hits stuff. So I don't know. I think she was just trying to make a joke. Hawkman's cool with it. He gets it. She's not super funny, but they still get along with each other really well.
Yeah.
It's like how he replaced Pete with his pile of comics.
Has a lot more to say too.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's more knowledge here. I'm just kidding, God. He's fine. He's gonna listen to this.
Yeah. Have you guys been paying attention to this Brightest Day stuff at all?
I haven't read it because I get my books late in the DC comp box, so I get them late. So.
Okay.
Thank you for spoiling all of it.
No problem. It's fine. You can probably wait on this a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. I'd like to like this. Clearly they're trying to replicate the success of 52, but for some reason it's just not clicking here.
Well, it's just everyone's sort of like fighting, like all this Firestorm stuff. Like Firestorm is two different people in one like Matrix or whatever. And so they were together, then they couldn't get along inside the body, so they were split apart. Now they keep running into each other and they're like, oh, I hate you. And then that's where it ends. And it's like, come on, guys, do so, get it together. You can be, if I had a guy, even if I hated him, that I could be a superpowered dude if I just hung out with him for a while, I would do it.
Yeah. He's not here this week.
Yeah. You think?
No. So sad. So sad. Next week, you guys. Next week.
Next week, we'll finally become one.
I'm glad I'm here this week.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on. The Walking Dead, number 73. Pretty soon, The Walking Dead is going to be a TV series on AMC, but first, it's going to continue to be a comic book.
Yeah.
So that's kind of exciting. What do you think about this storyline in general?
I like it. The crew here has they're in a safe place now with all these sort of weird people who have a wall so the zombies can't get them. But now our guys, Rick and his crew, are sort of becoming villains.
Yeah.
They've taken a bunch of guns from the gun place, and they're keeping them.
Yeah, every town has a gun place. You just got to search it out. I also like
it's great.
How they're coming at this. They've already played the thing where The Walking Dead, the characters are in the prison, they're safe, and you know it's only a matter of time until things go horribly, horribly wrong for them. It's certainly the same thing here, but it seems like now they're the ones that are going to cause the horribly wrong stuff for everybody else. And
yeah.
I think that's a nice twist on this sort of thing.
Yeah, it's great. Heroes becoming villains.
Yeah. Now, are you guys looking forward to The Walking Dead TV series?
Yes, definitely.
No, you're not?
Well,
I've read the book, so...
This is like the Andy Gibb talk show. I mean, the Barry Gibb talk show, and he's...
Andy Gibb, is he dead?
Yes, I know. Too soon.
Don't you dare.
This should be terrible.
And dead man?
Actually, kind of interesting. Just don't walk through his bone vortex.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying, by the way.
Thanks.
No, I don't know how I'm going to avoid the TV show. It's easy to avoid the comic book. If you want to wait until the series is over before you read it, it's pretty easy to avoid the comic book. But how am I going to avoid the TV show?
You can change the channel.
Yeah. You can not watch it.
Wait, why are you trying so hard to avoid it?
Because it's never going to be as good as the comic album.
I just thought
you live a twisted life, my friend.
I just thought maybe like Moonlight at a Best Buy or something like that. And they'll be playing it on the TV section. Like, now I gotta watch it. Cool, let's move on. Dark Wolverine number 87. Wolverine is still very, very dark, even though the rest of the Marvel Universe has moved on. In this issue, he heads to Rome and has a romantic encounter with a.
Sorry.
Thanks for that, Boothman.
Yeah. It actually is a romantic encounter with this dude who he meets on a motorcycle. What did you think about this?
I can't believe that this comic came out at all. I thought it was great. I like the story. But I just can't believe they're taking a Wolverine book and having... The whole story is Dark Wolverine's in Rome... gets picked up by a dude, they like ride this motorcycle around the city together. And then eventually he's like, you're gonna try to rob me, and the guy's like, yes, and he starts crying, and then he pops his claws, he's like, I should really claw you, and then he does it and walks away. And that's the whole issue. I just can't believe, and it's really good, the story's nice, but I just can't believe this guy, like, if Pete picked up this comic, that's probably where he is. He went crazy or something. Because I just can't see Wolverine fans getting this. But I'm glad it happened.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think Marjorie M. Liu and Daniel Way are doing a great job on this title.
And how about this cover? So cool.
Yeah, it's good. Everything about this book is very, very good and well done. I agree with you. It's surprising that it is published. I don't know.
Yeah. cheers to that.
Yeah, kudos to Marvel.
Maybe there'll be more.
Have you picked up this series at all?
Had not read it, no.
Okay. Do you have because you have a problem with it, or what's going on?
Wouldn't you like to go for a motorcycle ride around Rome?
I am...
That's an invitation?
Very strongly opposed to gay Wolverine marriage. Just gay Wolverine. No, I'm kidding.
Strong stance.
I just want to make...
Marriage is between a storm and a Black Panther.
Now, I lived in West Hollywood for 15 years. I have no problems with the... very broad-minded. No.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm digging deeper. Yeah. I haven't read it. But it looks good. I think those guys are very talented.
Yeah.
Mike?
I haven't read it.
Nice. Show's going very well.
Yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man number 634. This is actually the second of two Amazing Spider-Man issues that came out this past week. This is kicking off the Grim Hunt storyline, which calls back to Kraven's Last Hunt, a classic storyline in the series. Do you think, I mean, we're only one issue in, but do you think so far it's living up to Kraven's Last Hunt?
Wow.
You know, the best storyline in Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, I don't know why everyone loves that so much, Kraven's Last Hunt. It's pretty good, but
great.
Yeah, it's been referenced forever, and like Kraven, he's a good villain. He looks ridiculous, sort of at this point. It's pretty good. And anyway, I like this. This has been the culmination of so much setup for like years.
You think Kraven looks ridiculous?
Yeah.
If a dude walked in here with like a lion's head around his arms, you would be like, "Holy shit."
I mean, that's a fair point. I would.
Thank you.
But just saying that, you have to admit. That's ridiculous.
All right, that also is a fair point. Okay, well made, well made.
Plus, he would smell terrible. Just all sweat. Every time I see Kraven, I'm like, that dude must stink, honestly. Because he's always with all that like leather and hound fur. I don't know. Anyway, I like this a lot. It's crazy how like they called back Ezekiel, this guy from JMS's run, who was like a spider totem master, and he's there and he's covering spiders. Like, I'm excited to read this.
That's actually one thing that I really appreciate that the Spider-Man people are doing right now. They're not afraid to call back to storylines that fans are a little about, like the Clone Saga, like Ezekiel.
Madame Web.
And they're making it work, I think, in a very nice way.
Yeah.
I liked it. I would like to also call attention to the feature in the back by Stanley and Marcos Martín. Great system, yeah. Stanley writing Spider-Man again, of course, but I'm also a huge Marcos Martín.
Yeah, his art is great.
It's great. I mean, it's clearly Stan Lee being totally ridiculous for two pages, where he's like, we wrote a two-page story. That's ridiculous. Well, goodbye.
He's very old.
Yes.
He's very old.
But it is awesome, and it's awesome to see the two of them working together. They did a story, I think, in the either Amazing Spider-Man 600 or recent annual, and it was also silly, also very fun.
I'm sorry, we forgot to get Mike.
Yes. What are you so busy with?
He's drawing Avengers Academy.
All right.
It takes a lot of work to avoid every television show, also.
Just the dead.
Yeah, and getting Hightower's face just right is really important. All right, we're going to move on. New Mutants number 14.
Yeah.
Last but not least, continuing the Second Coming storyline that's running through all the X-Men titles right now. Describe the plot of Second Coming to me.
Well, times are tough for the mutants. I love this crossover. I think it's the best thing that's been going on in the X-Books in forever. You see Legion in this issue. Magneto's a badass at the end. I think it's great. Scott Summers isn't a dick.
I agree. This is actually a lot of fun. It definitely calls back to a lot of the crossovers of the 90s, like Executioner's Song and
Great
Extinction
crossover.
Agenda and whatnot. But I think getting to the crux of it, if you were asked to describe the plot of Second Coming...
Let's give it a try. The Scarlet Witch said that no more mutants could ever be born, and then one happened to be born, and then so there was a big fight over that baby. Yeah, there was a big fight over that baby, and so Scott Summers said, "Cable, take this baby in the future and make sure no one gets him." Bishop was like, "I want to kill that baby." So they, for like 3 years, they ran around trying to kill that baby. Except for Cable was trying to keep the baby. Great storyline. She grew up. Now she's like a teenage girl who has her own problems. She has her own problems. She's just getting her powers. Then all the villains, pretty much ever from all the X-Books, got together and they were like, "It's time to kill everybody." Led by Bastion, who's a sentinel from the future who came back in time, and he's like, he's got everything figured out. So they trapped all the mutants in on this big bubble, and they're sending Nimrods in, and their people are in hell. Scientists are like working out the stuff. And Magneto was like, "It's time for me to get involved." At the end of this. That's a short history of...
That's good. That's about half as long as the recap page up front. But it is a lot of fun. I think they're doing a good job, despite the fact that anybody picking this up would be like, "What is going on here?" If you've been reading...
You should read it, Mike. I think you...
I think if you read,
really get
if you read one comic...
Colossus is alive again.
When?
Like 8 years ago.
All right, that's it for the stack. Guys, we are going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring out Boothman.
Boothman!
And Boothman lives in the booth, in case you were wondering.
Nice. Start spreading the news.
I like this guy.
Cool.
What's your opinion on anything? Okay, so this question is for you two, so answer it. Were there any characters that did not make it into the Avengers Academy and why?
Grades.
They actually were not...
Count Nefaria.
Well, yes. Count Nefaria was going to be one of the villains, and then Bendis decided to use him in New Avengers...
Bullshit.
Finale. Mike's a little upset about it because he likes to draw the classic John Byrne outfit with the cape for Count Nefaria. But it was not done with malice, and it made sense because Count Nefaria was Madame Mask's father. So I don't hold a grudge. I just want to make it clear to all my friends at Marvel. Mike does hold a grudge.
I'm going to slap his head like a Benny Hill.
Oh, dear.
You should. What you should do in Revenge is draw a secret Count Nefaria in every issue somewhere in the background. Cool. Raise your hand if you asked that. Justin is going to bring you some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Which Avenger would make the worst teacher?
Aw.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going to say, all the ones who were the teachers at Adventures Academy
were
pretty much make the absolute
Speedball
worst.
Is a little loose to be teaching.
They're all pretty much the worst possible teachers. No, the worst Avengers teacher would probably be Hercules because, you know, I have this prejudice against the Greek people.
We're all Greek now.
I'm Greek, too.
Yeah, not anymore.
Well, I know. Hercules because he would be like... all right, let's just go out and get loaded. Come on, you know, forget about it.
There's a lesson in that, though.
Yeah, I think that's a good teacher.
Stalfox would be the worst teacher.
Well,
then you'd have...
It depends what he was teaching.
Avengers running
the Avengers School for Wayward Girls.
I'd read it.
That's a pitch.
Yeah.
What do you think? Worst?
Worst Avenger who would be teaching? Rage?
Just because of his name?
Huh? Well, clearly anger issues, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hard to understand in that mask, sort of stifling. He's only 12 or something. Not a lot of knowledge base to call on. I said angry, so yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. Probably Star Fox.
That's a video game.
64.
Ah, gotcha.
Nice. Wait, what's his name then?
Eros.
Yeah, Eros, because he did have sex with all of his students.
Just because you are the god of love doesn't mean you all...
He has sex with everybody.
That's his power.
What?
That's his power?
His power is to have sex with people. I don't want to boast, but that's kind of my power, too. Raise your hand if you ask that. Justin's going to bring you some free comics. Let's get the next question.
What do you think makes the best superhero underwear pattern?
What?
What do you think makes the best superhero underwear pattern?
Like underoos?
No. Like what makes it great? Like versus
underwear?
I shouldn't have to explain this.
What you mean, like what character would be great on your underwear?
Costume? Well, why do we ask the person?
What character would be great on your underwear?
Like underoos?
No, any underwear.
No underoos.
Whatever you wear, man. It's cool. Not everyone wears underoos.
They're super comfortable.
They make adult sizes of them?
They do not.
Oh, man. No wonder your voice is so high.
Come on. What do you think? Mike, best character to put on?
Weapon X. Because then you could just kind of blend in with the pubes.
Interesting. Wow. Your pubes are coming through your underwear?
I wore pubes for all four of us.
Good. That makes sense. I don't have any, so.
Nice.
Luckily, you can borrow some of his.
Yeah. We'll talk after the show.
Yes.
Chris?
Chris does?
Wait, what was that? You guys, like, check pubes together?
No, he's English and I'm Greek, so between us, we're hairy people. You know?
What?
Yeah. Best pattern for underwear, I would like to have Star Fox on my underwear because apparently, like, he can get you laid.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
A girl will see Star Fox.
be like,
wow.
This guy means business.
Yeah.
Star Fox 64, I think.
In 3D, very modern. I don't know, a big picture of the Thing.
The Fantastic Four character?
Yeah. You know what I mean.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. Justin's going to bring you some free comics. Do we have enough to do a lightning round? All right, let's do a lightning round.
Why change Fortress to metal?
There's a copyright issue. There's an Image character called Fortress.
Blam.
Nice. Next.
Who's your favorite non-Avengers Academy teenage hero?
Ooh. Mike?
I think Superboy, but I'm biased.
Why are you biased? You know him?
Because I drew him for 2 years.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You obviously
get the asshole. Just because you draw something, there are other reasons to be biased.
He's got a really easy costume. That's why I'm biased.
Yeah.
Mine would probably be Moon Boy. He's a teenager, right?
Moon Boy?
Yeah, Moon Boy.
See, he's the guy that rides on Devil Dinosaur?
Yes. They're friends. The boy.
Yeah, I ride on my friends.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's like
he's the worst.
Wait, are you going like this or going like this? I can't tell.
Yeah, more riding.
Yeah. Nice. Favorite teen hero? That's
Blue Beetle.
Ah.
Gotcha. I know. I said it fast because I knew you were going to say it.
Yeah. Kid Flash.
Cop out.
I got you. All right. One more?
One more. What do you think of spin-off titles that involve the kids of superheroes?
Huh. You guys probably like them. Sort of. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah. I loved, I mean, being a huge Starman fan, it's all about legacy superheroes, and I think that's, it's really interesting because it gives you already some history to call back on, but also take it a new direction. So
yeah.
I like them.
Yeah. I mean, if you can write a good story, it doesn't matter what it is, right?
Everyone's someone's kid.
And that's one to leave you on. That's it for your audience questions. All right. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah, we do!
We like to call it the Week in Geek. Good for us. All right, first thing, a little bit of announcement that I believe happened today, right, is that, you don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Great. Robert Rodriguez is probably directing a Deadpool movie.
Ooh.
Uh-oh. Yeah. So what do you guys think about that? Excited? Not excited?
Mike's not going to say it.
How are you going to avoid it?
I'm going to go live in Spain again.
That'll work.
I say go for it. I like Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Well, there was some talk also, because Ryan Reynolds is playing Green Lantern, that he probably won't be able to play Deadpool as well. So we have to find someone else.
Yeah.
I imagine the contract is probably like, you can't be every superhero. I'm not a legalese kind of guy. But
no, that's pretty much contract language, I think.
Yeah.
I think the tone matches up between Robert Rodriguez and the Deadpool character.
Yeah, he's definitely, I mean, he has a goofy tone to most of his stuff, so I think, and he has a sense of humor, so that might work. Who would you want to see play Deadpool, if not the amazing Ryan Reynolds?
I just can't see it. Anyone else really Dax capturing.
Dax Shepard?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's great in Parenthood, you guys.
I don't know. I don't know a lot of
actors. Cool. Just name one. Name any actor.
Let's see. If I had to name any actor, I would say Patrick Duffy. But that's not the right answer for this question.
Man from Atlantis,
right? Huh?
Yeah. Man from Atlantis.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I think we're all agreed. Patrick Duffy for Deadpool, you guys. All right, let's move on. Next thing to talk about. This is a big piece of news that came out this week. Hastings, which is a national chain, though apparently not in New York, so barely a national chain.
Nice graphic.
Yes,
That's not a picture of Hastings, is it?
No, it isn't.
You get the idea.
No, this is actually a picture from Hastings. The deal is, they're kind of an all-entertainment type store. They have music, they have movies, they have video games, they have action figures. They've been selling graphic novels and manga for a while, but they started experimenting in two stores and are now branching out to all 147 of their stores. They're going to be selling single issues of comic books, mainly from Marvel and DC, but as well as some smaller publishers. They're also going to have extensive back issues available at the store, essentially taking over the space they had for music for comic books. This is kind of surprising, I think, given that everybody's saying, oh, comics are moving into digital. This is obviously the exact opposite direction. What do you guys think as comic professionals? Good move, bad move, excited, nervous?
I think
what
they should take out all the music and the other stuff and just put comics in. I think they should. No, I'm in favor of it. Anything that can, you know, make us more money is, I'm in favor of it.
Mike?
Jim Hanley's very generously given me a 40% discount, so my opinion on whether this is a positive thing will be based entirely upon whether these people give me a 40% discount. Right now, I can't say it.
Great answer.
Justin?
It's good for comics. I mean, if people are... It's maybe bad for the tiny comic shop next to Hastings in all these 147 towns, but it's... I mean, if it town, so we get so many emails from doing like the web show where people are like, "Oh, I don't get my comic except for once a month when I go to the big city." Maybe not word for word.
We get a lot of carpetbaggers emailing us.
We get a lot of crayon drawn letters.
Yeah, most of our emails come from some lady named Rosa Sharn. We don't know who she is, but she's doing a great job of feeding her family. Grace of Wrath?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, wow, deep breath, man.
Thanks.
So it's good if more people are getting their hands on comics. It'll really, that's a lot of more comics going out the door.
That's, I think, the biggest thing in the short term, I mean, whether this works out or not, is if you have 147 stores ordering a large amount of comics, you're going to see sales, especially for the large titles at Marvel and DC, jump up, I think, quite significantly.
Are they ordering them like a non-returnable, like a comic shop, or are they ordering them like a DC?
They're ordering them through Diamond, as far as I understand it.
Non-returnable.
Yeah.
Good.
So, yeah. Great. And as far as I heard, they're only ordering Avengers accounts. Great. Very weird, but good for you guys.
Yeah.
Cool. We're going to move on last little bit. There's a movie that came out this past week that Justin is the only person that saw, which is Jonah Hex.
Yes.
Yay.
Did anyone else see the movie?
I wish we had a tumbleweed.
Yeah, I know. You gotta spend the money.
So what did you think about it? Why? Well, okay, first of all, why did you go see this?
Just as a comic book professional, I felt.
Was Toy Story 3 sold out?
I saw that the night before. Toy Story 3 is amazing. I don't know if you guys have seen that or not. There's a point in that where I was like, I can't believe they're actually doing this. But Jonah Hex, I also said, I can't believe they actually did this. The movie is, it's only, I mean, you guys probably know, it's like 75 minutes long. I wish I was watching soccer while I was sitting there. Cool way of saying soccer over there. And it's just a mess. It's one of the most, like, unintelligent, like, the story doesn't make any sense. You only see Megan Fox is in it for a little bit. She's like, doesn't make sense why she's there and why she likes Jonah Hex. Other actors, there's this guy with tattoos over all of his face, and he's like a crazy guy with a knife, and he just pops up all the time. Jonah Hex goes and finally tracks down the big villain of Turnbull, I think his name was, and he tracks him down in this fort, and they're getting ready to have a big battle, and then Turnbull leaves, and Jonah Hex gets shot, and they just ignore everything. And then he's in this weird like spirit world, and he just stumbles on this Indian village, and they put a bunch of herbs in his wounds, and then he just leaves, doesn't even talk to any of them. You don't ever see any of them. They just chant over him and breathe smoke in his nose, and then he's out of there. And then he catches up with them again. They have a fight. The big weapon of the movie is this cannon, and they never explain why it does this. And this takes place in 1876, so you also don't know why they have this. But it's a giant cannon that shoots giant cannonballs, and then after they land, you shoot an orange, like, marble. And when that lands, all the cannonballs explode. And so that's a big weapon, and he's like, shoot 200 of them at Washington. So then the big climax is all these cannonballs hitting Washington, and the president's there. But it's not. Doesn't look like any president that was actually president back then. It's like,
is it just
president,
like some PA that was hanging out on set?
Pretty much. Yeah. And then he's like, shoot the orange one or whatever. And they never explain why that one makes them all explode or anything. And then Jonah Hex, in the end, wins. And then he rides off into the sunset into a sequel, maybe. What's that?
Will Smith makes a cameo.
Yeah.
So
it was like Wild Wild West, but worse. Much, much worse. Yeah.
Well, here's my question: was it enjoyably bad, or was it just bad?
Just terrible. I was surprised because I expected it to be at least enjoyably bad, but it's like no one put any thought into anything.
Well, now as someone who has written bad movies, I feel it incumbent upon myself to point out that people work very hard on these things, and it's actually a miracle that any movie comes out good at all. But I also would prefer to dwell on the awesome, awesome, I haven't seen Jonah Hex movie, but the comic book Jonah Hex, which, full disclosure, Jimmy and Palmiotti and Justin Gray are friends of mine. But I love that comic. It's probably my favorite DC Universe comic. And if you like Westerns, if you like Jonah Hex, you should go out and get the trades of this comic because it's amazing. It also has fantastic art by people like Darwin Cook in it and Tony DiZuniga, who is the artistic creator of Jonah Hex. So that's my two cents. I say enjoy the comic, and it's awesome stuff. And you know, I'm a little bummed out that people don't seem to be liking the movie because I'm concerned that it may hurt sales of the comic, which there should be no, you know,
no correlation. At one point, he's in a bar and he takes a drink and he's got a hole in his face. And you see him, he takes a drink and his alcohol's pouring out of his face. And some guy laughs at him and he kills him. The best thing about the movie is at one point, Megan Fox is signing her name on an envelope, and her her script is very nice. That was the best thing of the movie. Her signing her name. It was the only thing anyone put any time into.
Nice. I'm a big Cursive fan, so I think I'm going to go check it out. And that's it for the Week in Geek.
Woo-hoo!
Yay, we did it. Guys, we're going to turn it over to our next section, trivia, and for that we're going to turn it over to Mr. Justin Tyler.
All right, trivia.
Huh? Here we got a taker already. Hand up. Come on down, sir. Sorry, this guy's sort of new, I guess. Hello.
Brand new.
What's that?
Brand new.
Brand new?
Yes.
Okay, introduce yourself to the audience.
Hello, I'm Ben, and I've just been rained on very heavily.
Okay, great. Let's keep our answers short. So tonight, if you answer all these correctly, you win this gift card. Hey, you can just hold it. Already? I'm awarding it to you. It's warm because I was sitting on it. I'm going to ask you three questions. There are multiple choices for the answers, and if you get them all right, then you can continue to hold on to the gift card. Question number one. Thank you. In Avengers, the tribute's by Avengers Academy. In Avengers Academy number one, a very important character is reintroduced. Speedball. Seeing him again is like A, getting coffee with an old friend, B, a cold drink on a hot, hot day, or C, seeing an ex-girlfriend and being totally cool.
A
is correct!
Wow.
Isn't that great to catch up with old friends?
That was very fact-based.
I'm trying to stick with Pete's method of trivia. Question number two. In Avengers Academy number one, Speedball still seems a little stressed out from all that penance stuff. Wouldn't it be great if A, Speedball just went to back to being awesome?
I'm going to go with A again.
Excellent! Great, great work. Question number three. All right, let's get serious.
Yeah, let's.
In Avengers Academy number one, on page 11, panel 4, Reptile makes reference to a Silver Age Marvel villain from which area of China? A, the Tian Shan Mountains. B, the Tarim Shang Basin. Or C, this is a fake question, let's just be happy Speedball's back.
C.
All right, congratulations. Continue keeping the gift card. You're welcome.
All right. So, Justin, who's your favorite character in Avengers Academy?
Metal. I think I already said it earlier in the show.
Nice.
Metal. I thought,
guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Justin, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the new issue of Lock and Key. Crown of Shadows coming out, number 6. Awesome. Great comic.
Last issue in this miniseries, right?
Yeah. Very sort exciting. Of a bittersweet pickup.
Symphony.
Okay.
Okay. No, really, that's not what I would say, but thanks. Spectacular Spider-Ham Anniversary Special number 1 is coming out. Very exciting to see the old Ham back in action.
Yes? I'm excited about G.I. Joe Hearts and Minds number 2.
Why?
Because I got Max Brooks into writing G.I. Joe comics. He owes it all to me. No, because the first issue was really good. I dug it. And Antonio Fuso, who, again, full disclosure, is my artist on G.I. Joe Cobra. Thank you. I think he's an amazing artist, and Howard Chaykin does the other story, and all that talent in one place is just really cool. I just dig the book. He's
not the Jonathan Hickman's second Fantastic Four collection is out tomorrow. Jonathan Hickman, Max Roman, and that news.
Yeah. And it's a great story, actually. If you haven't been picking it up, Fantastic Four, really, really good right now. And you guys, plug some stuff. Obviously, Avengers Academy is coming out, second issue.
Avengers Academy?
That's all I got.
Well, it's more than enough.
If you want to, you can pick up What's their Wildstorm collection? Wildstorm After the Fall, in which we have a story.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Together. Wildstorm.
Man, you have
after
a sheltered, sheltered life.
I'm trying to avoid colors.
I can't believe you made it to the show.
Let's see. I will plug everything under the sun. Let's see. Avengers Academy. Please pick up Avengers Academy. G.I. Joe Cobra. Upcoming Spider-Man Fantastic Four
series. Oh, I can't wait for that. Spider-Man X-Men was so good.
Awesome, thanks. Upcoming Invaders miniseries. My Absolution trade paperback collection of my Avatar miniseries, which comes out very soon. I forget something.
You're really successful.
No.
Yes!
I feel so inadequate now.
Well, It takes me a week to write a book. It takes you a month to draw a book.
It's 6 weeks.
6 weeks. There you go. So it's not, you're more successful than I am because you can actually do something. I can just like make shit up.
Okay.
Oh, you guys are friends.
You should walk through the bone vortex together.
Anytime we get together, it's the bone vortex.
All right.
Okay. A couple of things before we go. You can check us out on youtube.com/comicbookclub. Next week, we are going to have DC Trades editor Bob Joy back on the show. And every time he comes here, he has an insane PowerPoint presentation for us. I know that's going to sound ridiculous, but last time he was here, did he do Lois Lane? Or
that was two times ago. He was here when we were both gone. Pete had him, and he did a bunch of crazy stuff. Yeah. That was apparently awesome.
Anyway, he has an encyclopedic knowledge of the DC universe and finds the craziest things you have ever seen in your life.
Plus, so you know how hard it is to put together a PowerPoint presentation?
I do not.
Yeah, it's hard. I had to try to do it today. Yeah. So.
Well, good job. No problem. A couple of the people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Christos for being on the show. Yeah! Mike. Yeah! Bootman. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thank you, folks.
Congrats.